on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome in all listeners, this is the main event you've all been waiting for. Introducing the undefeated, the undisputed best boxing show in the world. Hailing across Essex, East London, Essex, coming to you live from Phoenix 98 FM. Welcome to On The Ropes.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton and you're listening to On The Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
It's Sunday, it's 8 p.m. and welcome to On The Ropes. On this week's show, we'll be catching up with O'Hara Davis' boxing trainer and local gym owner, Will Jones. Looking forward to that one. Lots going on again in the world of boxing this week to discuss. But before all that, Charlie, and can you believe this? 25 years, Frank Bruno became the WBC World Heavyweight title this week on the 2nd of September 1995 at Wembley Stadium. Electric atmosphere, you know, the ring walk was incredible. I want to talk it, I want to discuss it all and all again. Just a fantastic evening's boxing. Really, really looking forward to discussing that this week.
Yeah, unbelievable, Mark. I mean, you know, a national treasure, right? He finally done it. Fourth attempt, as you said, 2nd of September 1995. I mean, it wasn't the best fight, if I remember rightly. Oliver McCall was the champion at the time. Obviously, as we know, later on, you know, in 1997, he fought Lennox Lewis and had a complete meltdown. He wasn't the greatest champion, McCall. But Bruno, you know, at the fourth attempt, he finally got his hands on that world title. The one belt that he thought was always going to elude him, and eventually he got his hands on it. And what a memorable night for British boxing. You know, he's still held in high regard. Obviously, he lived in Brentwood for a while, didn't he, with his wife? I think he still remains within Essex. But yeah, what a national treasure.
Absolutely. You did touch on the fact that it was his fourth attempt at winning the world title. I mean, Big Frank never shied away from fighting the top heavyweights of his era. At the time, his boxing career started in 1982, and it ended sadly, really, after going and winning that world title versus Oliver McCall on the 2nd of September 1995. Part of the contracts would have been to fight Mike Tyson and defend the belt against Mike Tyson at the time. He obviously did defend it. He picked up a really bad eye injury, which forced him to retire, you know, in that fight versus Mike Tyson, which he lost. The McCall fight, Charlie, you know, had a lot of publicity about it. I mean, the ring walk, the 3D videos of Bruno going into the ring, you know, the British Bulldog, the brass band playing Land of Hope and Glory. I remember it like it was yesterday, vividly. I mean, it was just a fantastic night for British boxing and for Frank Bruno. I mean, he was nearly 34 when he won that world title. McCall wasn't in a particularly great place. He was the younger man at the time. He was 30. Bruno was 33. And it was last chance saloon for Big Frank at the fourth attempt. And he has gone down in British boxing history. He is a national treasure, for sure. He still is to this day. Loved by many. And Big Frank, it was so lovely to see him win that world title on the 2nd of September, as I mentioned, 1995. 45 fights, 5 losses, Charlie. And he did fight Mike Tyson twice. He fought Lennox Lewis once. As I said, he always wanted those big fights. He was never given credit either as a knockout artist, despite having an 88% knockout record. I mean, you know, the guy could bang.
He certainly could, Mark. The only thing that was, you know, he always lacked was fatigue, right? You know, or he didn't have enough of it. You know, whenever he got into the later rounds, because of his muscle mass, he always, you know, if it went beyond 6 rounds, he kind of, you know, he flaked a little bit, didn't he? So, and that, you know, you could argue that's when he lost his punching power. But yeah, you know, against some of the lesser named boxers, he would put them away for fun. But when he got in there with the seasoned professionals, you know, the true champions, he found it a bit difficult. But he did rock Tyson, if you recall. He did.
That was in the first bout.
In the first bout. So he definitely had the power. But it's just like I said, when he got into the championship rounds with those elite boxers, he kind of faded. But so made up for him, you know. He finally got his hands on that belt 25 years ago. Fantastic.
I did mention he went on to fight Mike Tyson. Tyson did stop him in round 3, Bruno performed unusually poorly that night in what turned out to be his last bout as a professional due to that severe eye injury caused by Mike Tyson. Just a national treasure. He did lose also to Lennox Lewis in 1993. He didn't just win the world title in 1995, Charlie. During his career, he became an MBE. His boxing career started in 82, as I mentioned, and finished in 1996. Great boxer of his era, of his generation, and loved by many.
Well, just look how long it took, since Frank Bruno to have a national treasure. Look how long it took for the British heavyweight scene to revitalise itself. Yes, there was obviously Lennox Lewis, there was Herbie Hyde around about that time. But, there's been a massive gap mark in that division. Obviously, Anthony Joshua, since the Olympics, has really, held that mantle and ran with it. But it just shows you, it's a tough division for sure. And he was, by far, he was a huge celebrity at the time, and like we've touched on, an absolute national treasure. And some have said, they love the guy even today. And some have said maybe, he should have received a knighthood. He obviously got the MBE. But just, for what he's done for British boxing, he's a fantastic, fantastic professional. And, with the mental health side of it as well, what he suffered over the years, an absolute legend.
Now, for all our listeners out there, bit of a quiz now, trivia quiz. I would like to know, if anyone know, no using Google, Charlie, not even for you and for our listeners.
Hold on, I'm on it.
Please feel free to tweet in to at On The Ropes FM1. Our question is, how many world heavyweight champions have Britain had in history?
In the history of
boxing.
Wow.
How many British world heavyweight champions have we had in the history of heavyweight boxing? So please tweet that into us. Get in touch. We'll read it out at the end of the show. Or text us or send us WhatsApps if you've got our personal numbers and you are listening live. We would love to hear from you. So another little bit of a trivia, Charlie. What was number one the week of Frank Bruno winning that illustrious world title, WBC world title, back 2nd of September 1995.
Oh, you got me. Let me think. 90s, there were some big stars, weren't there? It's got to be someone like, it's either someone like Oasis, Blur, or one of the big stars, like Luther Vandross, or maybe Michael Jackson.
Oh, warmer.
Who is it?
You're getting hot.
Are you going to tell me then?
It was Michael Jackson, You Are Not Alone. So we're going to play this one now for you. Cracking tune, 2nd of September 1995, when Big Frank brought home that world title. Here's your number one.
Another day has gone, I'm still all alone. How could this be? You're not here with me. You never said goodbye. Someone tell me why. To go and leave my world so cold. Every day I sit and ask myself, how did I slip away? Something whispers in
What a lovely song that was. Number one, 2nd of September 1995. Big Frank brought the belt. He brought the WBC belt back to Brentwood in Essex. What a night. What a man. And what a boxer. Now, Charlie, time for stories breaking this week. Daniel Jacobs and Demetrius Andrade are reportedly going to share a card in November. Now, Eddie Hearn has previously mentioned John Ryder as a possible opponent for Jacobs. Liam Williams is actually Andrade's mandatory. I'm not too sure about this bout. However, it would be a step up in class, I think, for Demetrius Andrade.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. You know, he's been saying, or his promoters have been saying that, you know, he's world levels. You know, he's one of the best champions there is. Well, let's see how good you are. You know, I would personally love to see Williams. I mean, Williams has been itching for that fight. I mean, itching for it all over social media, saying, you know, he hasn't fought the best yet. He's not even, you know, wait till I get my hands on him kind of thing. But the division really needs to be rocked up a bit, and this will certainly, show how good he is, really.
Now, news breaking tonight that local lad and former guest of the show, Umar Sadiq, top boxer, is going to be given a WBA gold title opportunity next Friday. Late opponent, Charlie, Friday, September 11th in Moscow for the super middleweight gold title. Now, he's going to be fighting Chudinov. Now, we should know him reasonably well here in the UK. He fought Jules Groves. Not that long ago, really. Was it 2016 he fought George Groves?
Sheffield, wasn't it?
In Sheffield.
On the Kell Brooks undercard at the Bramall Lane, wasn't it?
Yeah. So he is quite well known to British boxing fans. It will be a test for Umar. We actually had a conversation with him tonight on the way to the studio, wished him the very best of luck and said, bring that belt back to Essex. He's pretty confident he can do it. He's taken the fight at short notice. So if you are listening, Umar Sadiq, we're right behind you, and the very best of luck for next Friday.
Yeah, and I don't think it's on, I've not heard that it's on telly, Mark. So, guys, if you're looking for, you know, I presume there'll be a stream out there somewhere. So, and you know, follow Umar on his Instagram, etc. You know, he'll post streams and he'll let the fan base know, you know, if it is on TV or where we can get the stream. So really looking forward to that. Wish him well. Get behind him. You know, he's an Ilford lad, not too far away from here. And I really, you know, surprises have been sprung at late notice, and he keeps himself fit. You know, he's match ready all the time, and he's really impressed of late. So, you know, looking forward to seeing him in action, and hopefully he can bring that belt back.
Absolutely. Now, also, Terence Crawford versus Kell Brook is reportedly getting closer. We actually discussed this in a recent show. Very close to a deal, which claimed that Top Rank have now upped their offer to Brook to around $2 million for the WBO welterweight title fight, potentially November 14th in the US.
November 14th, that rings a bell. Who else this week? Ah, November 14th also was... Pitters was saying last night about Craig Richards, and a former guest of the show, light heavyweight. November the 14th, Mark. Kell Brook, is he, I think we said last week or the week before, you know, it's his swan song, isn't it? He's getting paid a lot of money, apparently. Has he got over those injuries? I don't know. But it's certainly a great opportunity for him, Mark. But, you know, watch that date, November the 14th.
Absolutely. Big date, potentially, for the diary. Eddie Hearn this week on Usyk versus Chisora. We are still trying to get that over the line for October 31st. We've only got a few days to make that fight happen. What a triple header it would be if we can close out the year with White versus Povetkin 2, and that could be November 14th, Charlie, again, or the 21st, Eddie Hearn has quoted, and Anthony Joshua versus Pulev, December the 12th. That's come from Matchroom this week.
Yeah, well, Usyk, Mark, has been literally, he's been calling out Anthony Joshua, saying, you know, I'm next for the WBO. So this is obviously a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a gatekeeping role for Chisora, I think. You know, but as we know, people taking these kind of fights. Povetkin, no one gave him a chance against Dillian White, did he? And that uppercut, he knocks him into oblivion, didn't he? So, I mean, I don't know. You know, we had Frank Smith on last week, the CEO of Matchroom. We were talking about Frank Warren, etc. You know, Frank Warren saying that I wouldn't put Dillian White back in so soon with Povetkin. You know, I don't know if that's a banana skin a second time around for Dillian White, Mark. I really don't. Even Usyk versus Chisora. You know, Chisora on his day's got the potential to knock anyone out. So these fights are not, you know, they're not clear cut. But yeah, interesting. I think, but AJ Pulev on December 12th. I mean, Pulev's not been... When was the last time he fought? When he got banned, right? He got banned for the a bit of the derogatory actions versus a female reporter, didn't he? So is he match ready? You know, I mean, a lot of these fights, they're not... I don't know, Mark. I want to see AJ in against some big names. I know he's, you know, he's got a few cobwebs to dust off, and, you know, Usyk hasn't really fought. I want to see them, but, you know, I'm not singing from the hilltops, you know. I'm not buzzing to see him, really.
Talking about fighting big names, here we go this week, Charlie. Speculation that Deontay Wilder's rematch plan for Tyson Fury has derailed in the closing weeks of his training camp as he sustained an injury to his bicep. Now, this was confirmed by his sparring partner, Junior Fa, this week.
Junior who?
Junior Fa.
No swearing on the show.
Junior Fa. So, here we go. Does this lead us to Joshua Fury? Does Fury go off and do his WWE thing the end of this year? And then his path leads to Anthony Joshua.
Well, Mark, funny you should say that about the WWE. Have you seen the comments this week on social media? Tyson Fury's been calling out Drew McIntyre, hasn't he? Saying, I've been sitting here on the train on the way home after a long, busy weekend, and I'm thinking about people I want to punch in the face. Fury said it on Twitter. He directed it at McIntyre. He said, the first one that springs to mind is a big fella named Drew McIntyre. Now, Drew, you've been having quite a bit to say about me lately, and I'd love to punch your face in, honestly. This is an official challenge video to Drew McIntyre, the WWE heavyweight champion of the world. And then he went on to say, you greasy chump. I mean, Fury, what a character. But yeah, that's probably because Fury's itching to get in any form of a ring. He wants a fight. He wants a dust up. Wilder clearly, there's things going on in the background. Is he going to be ready? Doesn't look like it. So Fury wants to have a scrap and is going to earn a few million quid out of it. Happy days.
Yeah, big dosser. You forgot to throw that one in there, John.
Excuse me, what you call me?
Yeah, so all speculation, smokes and mirrors, but it's certainly warming up in the heavyweight division. A few results to mention from this weekend. Now place the IBF number 12, WBC number 15 and the EBU European Super Featherweight Champion Samir Ziani retained his title last night by a 12th round knockout over Alex Dillamangi. Now, Dillamangi was going into the fight. His record now stands at 19-2-1 loss. Ziani is now 32-3-1 defeat. Seven of those wins coming by knockout. Now, it came via the live TV studio in Wakefield Saturday evening. I mean, an astonishing finish, really, Charlie, in what was a grueling match. Dillamangi, for me... Dillamangi, for me, sorry. he looked very light at the weight. You know, he was the taller man at 5'8". He looked like he was struggling. I mean, Ziani sort of really had more ring craft about him. You could argue that fight could have been finished a lot earlier. Now, the referee, there's a lot of question marks today over his decision. Should he have stopped it in the 11th or even the 10th to get his man out of there? So, you know, question marks over the official Giuseppe Quattrotorni. My personal opinion is that he should really serve a ban now. Back to the drawing board for the official. There shouldn't be a lifetime ban from officially refereeing boxing matches, but maybe some time out, sin bin, and go over the rule book again.
Yeah, Dillamangi took... I wouldn't say he took a beating, Mark, but, you know, he was under the cosh for a lot of the fight, and he was clearly, you could see, I don't know if he was weight drained or what, or if, is he a natural super feather? He looked, you know, he looked gaunt. The other guy looked a lot stronger, you know, and the flurry of punches, you know, and I think he was out of his depth. He really was. But, you know, yeah, the questions over the referee, like you said, he probably should have stopped it earlier. Should he be banned? I don't know, Mark. You know, he's trying to give the British boxer, you know, a crack of the whip and a fair crack of the whip and see if he can come back and challenge, but he couldn't. But, you know, it's boxing, right? It's a matter of opinion, but I don't think he should be banned, the referee. No way.
Do you think tactics were wrong?
Absolutely. He tried to fight toe-to-toe. He tried to fight toe-to-toe, and I've seen him before try to do that, Mark, and he's nearly come unstuck. And last night, he just met his match because, the European champion, he was just different levels above. Different levels.
Now, I know he's been away training and sparring Mexicans. Do you think that was his style of fight last night, as you said, to try and trade with him toe-to-toe? But Ziani, for me, looked like he had more ring craft, more, technical ability about him as well. And I feel that after seeing the evidence of the bout last night, that Ziani could probably go on now and fight for a world title, my personal opinion.
I think you're right, Mark. I think you're right. And that super featherweight, as we're going to touch upon, Herring was out last night as well, wasn't he? I mean, what a great division to be in. And he could be, I think he's still relatively young as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 30.
So, all right, really, that is a, young in boxing terms. He's got a few more years ahead of him. I do agree. I think he could be world level for sure.
Also last night, cruiserweight Isaac Chamberlain back in action again. He goes 12-1, fresh off a third round knockout win in just under 2 weeks. 2 weeks back in the ring. He was in the ring 2 weeks ago. And after 2 years out, he just needed 50 seconds to blow away Matt Sen in round one. The referee intervened after Chamberlain connected with a series of unanswered power shots. And that was the end of the bout.
Yeah, sorry,
Matt Sen.
Sen was in. He was a previous Ultimate Boxer contestant. He didn't really offer much. I think Chamberlain let him have the first couple of exchanges to test out his power, and he didn't really hurt Chamberlain. And then Chamberlain just went AWOL on him, and he just went literally like some massive uppercuts, massive uppercuts. And the ref done the right thing. He definitely done the right thing. So Chamberlain's still only 26, as you said. Is a bit of a break from the sport. He was unlucky against the Coley. He's definitely got time on his hands to come again for sure.
Also last night in action was unbeaten super lightweight Stephen McKenna. He went 5-0, five of those wins coming by way of KO. He scored a first round KO over Gary Maguire. Maguire had only ever won one of his previous 18 bouts. I can't really take anything from this. But Maguire was down three times in 73 seconds. McKenna does actually train out of the wild card gym with Freddie Roach. And he got the win and he got his man out of there earlier. Disappointing news last night, however, for Mick Hennessy's son. He had put the show on, Mick Hennessy Sr. His son, 19-year-old middleweight Michael Hennessy Jr., suffered his first professional defeat against Jamie Stewart by a score of 58-56 in a six-round contest. Now, Stewart moved to 2-0, while Hennessy falls to 4-1. One other fight to mention, unbeaten light heavyweight Idris Virgo and former Love Island contestant outpointed Scott Williams by a score of 40-36 in a four-round contest. So, Idris Virgo is now in the boxing ring, back on our television screen, Charlie.
Yeah, but he's not a boxer, Mark, is he? He's not a boxer, is he? He's, I don't know. I don't know what you want to call him. There's names for him now. Z-listers or something like that. He's not a boxer.
Social media.
Yeah. I mean, what's he doing? You can't play boxing. He's going to get found out. And he had to really work hard to get that win last night. He really did. Williams was a tough customer. You could tell he's a bit of a journeyman, but he couldn't get him out of there, Mark. So as he goes through the ranks, through the levels, he is going to get found out. I'm not a buyer of that at all. Not interested.
You could well be right. Now, Jermell Herring was back in action last night. He set up his long-awaited super featherweight title defence against Jonathan Quiendo. His next bout potentially could be that Carl Frampton bout later this year. Now, Jonathan Quiendo was out of there by disqualification. The American Jermell Herring did defend his title as Quiendo was disqualified by referee Tony Weeks at the end of round 8 for repeated intentional headbutting. Now, Herring went straight to hospital afterwards for checkups. He had no broken bones, but he was looking rather ugly. He now has 22 wins of his 24 professional fights. He said after the fight, he still wants Carl Frampton next in what could be, Charlie, his last bout.
Well, yeah, in boxing terms, he's getting on a bit, and he's one of the oldest champions, world champions out there at the moment that there is. So, yeah, Frampton's not a young buck either, is he? So, you know, that could be either way. If it's his last fight, Mark, that could open up, if Frampton loses, that could open up the door for Frampton potentially to have another crack at a world title, you know. But it's a great opportunity for Frampton, and that would tell me either way. I mean, how do you weigh that one up as a champion if it's your last fight? Do you go in all guns blazing, or do you go in and shrug your shoulders and say, you know what, I'm getting paid a small fortune here, I don't really care if I win the belt because I'm going to retire anyway? It's a difficult one to psychologically, you know, gear yourself up for, isn't it?
Yeah, you did mention Jamel Herring and his age. I think he's, what, 36, is he?
Yeah.
36, he's got a young family. I mean, don't get me wrong, Cole Frampton's getting on a bit as well. So
he's 33, yeah.
This could actually fall into Frampton's favour, because if Herring does show up and he says it's my last bout and I want to go out on a high and I want to win the world title, if Frampton loses that fight, as you touched on, the fight then becomes vacated, or the belt becomes vacated, and Frampton probably gets another shot at it.
Yeah, but then you've also got Archie Sharp. He's a WBO European champion, isn't he? So he's flying up the ranks. I think he might be on the verge of top five, Mark. So, you know, it's going to take a few twists and turns after Herring's out of the way in terms of his retirement, if that's exactly what he's going to do. Then you never know, Mark. There might be a huge, huge world title fight back in Britain between Frampton and someone like Archie Sharp.
No, Herring's 34. I think Frampton's 31, isn't he?
Is he? No, Frampton's older than 31.
I think he's early 30s. So they are. They're both entering the twilight years of their careers. As I said, Herring will go into that bout and probably with one of his biggest paydays. And likewise, Cole Frampton wants to be a three-weight world champion, and he could easily go go and do that. And hopefully he does, because he's number one in Britain. He's 33. So both similar ages, 33 and 34. So yeah, interesting times ahead for both boxers. Now, guys, in part two, we are going to be catching up with Will Jones to discuss his gym down in Romford, the Edge Gym, and also he's taken on the head coach role with O'Hara Davis into the Golden Contract final on September 30th. But before we do that, we're going to leave you with some music, and we've got Dermot Kennedy, Giants. Enjoy this. We'll catch you soon.
We used to be giants. When did we stop? Just say the word and I'll be yours. You know I never forgot. The hope and the hurt has lived inside of me. But there's gold in the dirt I never took the time to see. But I knew of its worth when you walked beside of me. And my hand fit in yours like a bird would find the breeze. We used to be giants. When did we stop? Song in the silence, but time catches up. Just say the word and I'll be yours. You know I never forgot. I knew from the start you'd be the one to set me free. That day in the park when the herd would hide from me. Those eyes used to know me. It's been way too long. You are the moon and the stars and all they gaze upon. Time won't ever move slowly. What you waiting on? Yeah, what you waiting on? We used to be giants. When did we stop? Say the word and I'll be yours. You know I never forgot. We were the song in the silence. But time catches up. When did we stop? Just say the word and I'll be yours. You know I never forgot. We were the song of the silence. But time catches up. Just say the word and I'll be yours. You know I never.
Welcome back, guys, to part two of the show. We are joined now live on the line by Will Jones. Now, Will is a former guest of the show. He runs and he is a professional boxing coach. He also runs the Edge Gym right here in Romford, Essex. So, Will, my friend, how are you, mate? And thanks for joining us. Will, you there?
Yeah, I'm there. You here?
Yeah, we can hear you now. How are you, mate? Thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah, very good. How are you?
Yeah, very well, mate. Thank you. Just loving life, and I'm glad we're sort of out of this, you know, bit of this lockdown now, and things are slowly getting back to normal. How's it been for you in the gym?
Well, at first it was quiet. It's horrible. Staring at four walls at home, to be honest, at the beginning of lockdown. But now we're back to a normal routine. Getting as back to normal as we can, and just getting the boxes back in. I haven't had a day off in since lockdown existed, since the gyms were allowed back open. I haven't had a day off being back to work. Now we've got O'Hara getting ready for the golden contract. It's been non-stop.
And Will, I don't know about you, but Mark's waistline has expanded since lockdown. I mean, have the boxers returned reasonably fit and healthy, or have they put on a few pounds as well?
Well, I have. I've put on a few pounds. At the beginning of lockdown, I've done all these bike rides, and then as soon as the lockdown lifted, I found the calves again. But yeah, a few of the boxes did come back heavy, but we've got the sprints back in the routine and got the runs, and now I think everyone's sort of back in shape. O'Hara's in the best shape he's ever been at the minute.
Now, Will, that's what I was going to ask. You've been appointed O'Hara Davis's head coach for the upcoming Golden Contract final. I mean, how's camp been with O'Hara? And it looks like you've even, you know, drafted in Kevin Mitchell. Like, you seem to have some sort of partnership going on down at the Edge.
Yeah, me and Angel met up a little while back and had a chat about O'Hara, because Angel was moving a lot of his work up to Loughborough, and it's a bit far for me and O'Hara to travel a lot in the week. So O'Hara decided to stay with me. Me and Angel had the chat and agreed that it's a good decision. Me and O'Hara started our work, and I felt like I needed an extra set of hands to sort of earn O'Hara's trust and sort of help guide him, because I'm still new to the game, and I'm green. So, and I was learning a lot of Angel at the time, like I learned off Jamie Williams when I was cut up and coming, and Adam Hart. And yeah, got Kevin in, and me and Kevin seem to be working together great. Kevin's got some a pro with him, Jordan Flynn. I've got my Sonny Ali, and I've got my young Sean Mannix. So we're building quite a stable together now, and it's worked well for O'Hara's camp.
Awesome. And I mean, O'Hara, is he going into the bubble soon, getting ready for that McKenna fight?
Yeah, we go a week before the fight, so we've got a couple more good spars left, and then we head up to Wakefield, where it is, and then we go into the bubble. Yeah.
And that's what I was going to ask. How's sparring been? I mean, for O'Hara, is, you know, who's he been in with? What's he looking like? How's his fitness?
You've probably seen online that he had an interesting spar with Florian Marco. He's had some good rounds with a lot of southpaws in the area, a few of my young boys. We've done some good rounds last week with just rotating a fresh body every round to keep O'Hara on his toes. And it was a good 12 rounds for him. And yeah, he's been mixing up really well. We've had that, do you know that Jumani? We've had a few rounds of him at Al Wilkie's gym. And he's like the Terminator. O'Hara hit him with everything. This guy just stood in front of him and had a go. It's brilliant.
And I mean, in terms of, you know, because McKenna's a taller guy, isn't he? And he is awkward. I mean, have you had taller guys in there as well? You know,
that's what we've been doing. We've been working for the taller guy. Listen, McKenna's not going to sit still. If McKenna's got half a brain, he's not going to sit still and trade with O'Hara. O'Hara's like got considerably heavier hands, but we've got a game plan one, game plan two, game plan three. So hopefully we're all set.
Now, for boxing fans, this should be a remarkable fight, because you've got the UK's ranked number fifth in O'Hara Davis versus, you know, McKenna, who's number six in the UK, and there is a lot on the line. But Will, not looking too far ahead, but if O'Hara comes through this. I mean, he's been in already with arguably some of the best domestically, if not at world level, with Josh Taylor and Jack Cattrall. They were his only two defeats. What do you think could be potentially be next for O'Hara if he goes on and wins the golden contract?
If we do win this, the next steps are huge for O'Hara. And if we play it right and he gets the results, it could lead up to a world title fight if we do it right. It could be big for O'Hara. But it's all on the end of the golden contract, what happens.
And I mean, in terms, you know, like Mark said there, with not just with O'Hara, but you've got other guys coming through the ranks. I mean, is there any big news down there at the edge that any of our boxing listeners should know about?
Well, I've brought young Sonny Ali on the show before. He'll be turning over just before the end of the year. It's a shame because it would all be done by now, but lockdown prevented all that. So he'll be turning over before the end of the year. And I've got, I've just had a... This guy I've just got, young Sean Mannix, he's 20 years old. Me and him were scheduled to fight on the unlicensed scene a few years ago. And now I'm his coach. Like, he's come to me as my fighter. I'm his coach now, and we've worked together for a few weeks. He's decided he wants to stay with me and work with me. And he's got a bright, bright future. He's a grafter. He works hard. I can't ask for more from him.
And I've seen that you've had Hamza Shiraz in the gym as well. Just you were doing some pad work with him as well, the local lad.
I've been working with Hamza and Umar as well, just building them up. I've played quite a big part with Hamza's last camp with Eddie Kelly. And Hamza's going to be world level, world elite level. He's absolutely unbelievable. My wrists have took a battering during his camps. And listen, I really rate him, and he's going to go very far.
Yeah, he does look a talent. And you mentioned Umar there, which is Umar Khan, his cousin, right? I mean...
Yeah. He got signed this week, I think.
That's right, yeah. Frank Queensbury signed him this week. But, I mean, he looks a bit of a talent as well. And I don't know if you heard tonight, Will, that another local boxer, Umar Sadiq, is going to be fighting for the WBA gold super middleweight title next Friday. So, you know, things are happening now for these local lads.
It's really picking up in the local area. I think MTK played a big part of it as well, because one of their managers and promoters are both close friends of mine, and they've got a plot in the area, like the strength conditioning place, and they've got the fighters in and out there all the time, so they're helping getting these fighters ready. So the news is all local news that's building up, so it's, this area's really picking up on the boxing side.
And in terms of numbers now, Will, for you coming through the doors, obviously you mentioned since lockdown, July 25th, gyms were back open. I mean, I guess you're starting to see those numbers just come back in, because you're not just doing your professional bit. You've got guys that will go there for a bit of boxing and to keep fit and whatnot. Are people more confident now in going through the doors at gyms, do you think?
Some are not. We're still probably half of what we did have. Before the lockdown, but yeah, slowly, it's the news. I think the news strikes a lot of fear into them a bit, so they're finding it hard to trust what's going on, really. So, but in time, hopefully, once everything gets all clear, and then the social distancing doesn't have to carry on, then people will have the confidence to come back to the gyms, if you know what I mean.
And what do you think about, I mean, have you experienced yet behind closed doors? Because obviously you're going to at the end of the month. Have you experienced it yet? And then on the second point to that is, when do you think, you know, we'll start seeing spectators back in arenas?
We've had part of Hamza's camp we had to do behind closed doors, and they come down and gave us COVID tests down at the gym. That's been my experience of it. And yeah, then I've got to go into this MTK bubble at the end of the month, just before the 30th. But I don't know when we'll see an audience, to be fair. I'm really not sure, because are we looking at Joyce and Dubois at the end of the year still? Is that right? Is that supposed to be at the O2?
Yeah, that was penciled in for November, I believe. But Warren is super keen to get, you know, crowds back in for that bout.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed it does happen, because everyone could do with going back to a bit of normality. But you know what I've liked, though, during this, when the shows have been on and there is no audience, you can actually hear how brutal the sport is. And it shows a lot that boxing ain't a joke. Like, some of these fights have been great to watch, haven't they?
No, absolutely. And you also hear the corners, Will. So, you know, obviously we're really looking forward to September 30th just to see, you know, how you and O'Hara and the corner tackle any obstacles on the night. Really looking forward to it because it should be one of the biggest domestic dust-ups of the year. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'd be a great fight. And listen, I do think O'Hara stops him, to be fair. If I talk honestly, I think O'Hara stops him, but we'll see on the night.
Yeah, well, like you said there, you know, where there's no crowd, you can really hear, you know, the venom in their punches. And, you know, O'Hara, he can hit. You know, I saw him against, you know, obviously he fought Jeff Ofori, didn't he? And, you know, you could see that he was starting to hurt him, and he looks awkward, but he's certainly got the power. So I'm interested to see and hear those punches connecting.
Yeah. See, with Jeff Ofori, if I'm honest, O'Hara wasn't in the shape that he's in now. And the shape he's in now, but I couldn't be more happier with his... And a happy O'Hara is a dangerous O'Hara. That's one thing everyone's got to remember. See, O'Hara, he gets a bit of bad press and he seems miserable all the time. But he's quite misunderstood. But when you've got O'Hara happy and he's coming back to the corner and sparring, quite cheerful, he's dangerous. He really is. And I'm really looking forward to the fight.
Yeah, well, listen, we wish you the best of luck on September 30th. We do appreciate your time tonight. It's been lovely catching up with you again. And, go and get that fight out of the way and onwards and upwards, not just for O'Hara Davis, but for Will Jones and the Edge Gym.
No, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
No worries, Will. Take care, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Cheers, man.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. Charlie, great things going on down at the Edge Gym in Romford, you know, not just for the professionals, but for amateurs alike. Fantastic place.
Absolutely, Mark. Absolutely. You know, and obviously Will's getting he seems to be making a bit of a name for himself, doesn't he? You know, he's mixing it up with good pros. You know, he's building his trust, like he said, with his professionals. And the sky's the limit. So, you know, anyone who's in the area, you know, you're looking for a bit of training or you fancy yourself as a bit of a boxer, Will Jones is your man. He'll sort you right out.
Right, Charlie, favourite time of the week.
Quote of the week, no matter what happens, no matter how far you seem to be away from where you want to be, never stop believing you will somehow make it.
Wow, wonderful stuff, inspiring stuff for the week ahead. Now, Charlie, next week, some bills to talk about and bouts to talk about and shows and cards and whatnot. But we, you know, no audiences, but we're all looking forward to boxing being on our TV screens. I love it every weekend. Just absolutely love it.
Yeah, well, like we just touched upon that interview, Mark, you know, with the no crowds, you know, for the boxing fanatics that have always wondered, you know, is he really hitting him or is that really hurting? You know, that have asked those questions in your head when there's a crowd. We've been to a packed arena and, you know, you can't really hear anything. You're just screaming at the boxers and you think, oh, yeah, that wasn't a strong punch. Well, tell you what, with no crowd, you can feel the punches going in. And, you know, some of the body shots, you can literally hear the guy's last breath, you know, the wind being taken out of him. It's riveting stuff. It really is fascinating stuff. So yeah, there's lots to look forward to this weekend. I think we've got, as you said, Umar Sadiq obviously on Friday night. There's also Anthony Yard, Lions in the Camp. He returns Saturday.
Lions in the Camp. Yeah, back on Saturday, Anthony Yard versus Dex Spellman. Now, we were talking about this in the car on the way to the studio, and it is a bit of a mismatch, this one, Charlie. Dex Spellman, I don't know, light heavyweight. I mean, there can only be one winner.
100%.
There can only be one winner.
100%. It's going to be an easy night's work for Anthony Yard. But the undercard's quite tasty, Mark. I'm looking forward to Heffron versus Bentley.
Middleweight.
I think that's going to be a great little fight. So, you know, yeah, top of the bill's not... You know what I mean? It's not riveting. I'm not really looking forward to that fight. But I'm certainly looking forward to a couple of the undercard bouts. So, you know, and again, it's on the telly. Boxing's back. And just buzzing to watch any kind of contest.
We've got Nathan Gorman also back in action versus Richard Laty. Now, both these men have been in with Dubois. Laty, for me,
Well, it depends what light he turns up. Against Dubois, didn't he catch him early with a punch? He caught him early, and not that he rocked him, but you thought, oh, hello. So it depends. You know, Gorman's been obviously inactive since the Dubois fight. Is it who exactly? But depends on what last he turns up, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There is another bout to mention next week. It will be Iku Esuman versus Cedric Pennard, just to note. And also next Saturday from the MGM Grand Ballroom Las Vegas, Bob Arum's Top Rank show will be hosted. We've got a couple of bouts to mention. One at welterweight, Egidius Kavazikas versus Michael Zawiski, and Miguel Margea versus Joe Gonzalez. So there will be a show in the US to mention. Try and say that after you've had a lager, Charles. Oh,
for you Gonzalez, you've done well with them other names. I wouldn't even try pronouncing. It's ridiculous.
So there is boxing. But I'm really intrigued about this fight which Umar Sadiq has taken, Charlie. You know, big leap for him. Massive leap for him at super middleweight.
Well, Chudinov's been in with Felix Trum, hasn't he? And George Groves, like we said earlier. So a massive fight. And he took it at late notice, Mark. So, you know, you'd like to think that he's... you know, he's fit, right? He should be ready for the fight. Because I think there was talk about him fighting someone else... coming up, I can't remember. So, oh, he was waiting for a thingy, wasn't he? Lerone Richards. Yep. He was waiting for that, so he should be relatively fit, right? He should be, you know, ready to rock and roll. So, an interesting fight, and you know, sometimes the underdog, you know, goes in late notice and he comes home with a belt. So, I'm really hoping he does.
Now, there is one bout which is scheduled to take place tonight, actually, early hours, and we've got Cuban fighter Yordanis Ugas, and he'll be fighting the Abel Ramos for the vacant World Boxing Association World Welterweight title. Now, Charlie, this will be in the early hours of this morning, or I should say tomorrow morning now, 4 a.m. in the UK.
You can
ring walk. So I won't be staying up for that one, but just be aware of that one. Watch out for the result tomorrow morning, fight fans.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about him. You've just literally thrown me because I've never heard of him. So, I mean, welterweight's a tasty division, isn't it? So, yeah, can't really comment more on that. I'll be in the land of nod.
No, Ugas was in with Sean Porter not that long ago, and it was a bit of a dubious decision. He lost on points, but he fought very, very well against Sean Porter and was unlucky not to win it. And that is his only defeat. Recent defeat, I should say. He's got 3 defeats on his card. So, yeah, hopefully the Cuban man can make amends and go and win that vacant WBA World Welterweight title.
Drop me a text about R4, yeah? Tell me the winner. Righto.
As my alarm goes off tomorrow morning, yeah, I'll let you know. So, yeah, lots of boxing coming up next week. You know, and lots to talk about this week. Really, really enjoyed the boxing, which was Channel 5, Charlie. Free on air. And fantastic to see. We always like a bit of free boxing, IFL TV midweek as well. You know, some tasty bouts there. I don't know if you saw Harlem Eubank versus Martin McDonagh Wednesday night. Fantastic bout. And Eubank got him out of there late on. McDonagh, I mean, it was his first stoppage. He's a hard kid, Martin McDonagh. And they had a bit of a history in the amateurs because McDonagh had actually beat Harlem Eubank. But Harlem Eubank, people, is the cousin of Chris Eubank Jr. And he's not that well known. And his father was a boxer as well.
Was that Peter Eubank?
Peter Eubank.
He beat Barry McGuigan, didn't he?
Yeah, correct. And he's a good boxer. He's a good talent. I was really, really impressed by him.
Yeah, I've seen him down at the Brentwood Centre on one of them MTK events. He's under Adam Booth, isn't he? Adam Booth, so very good boxer. He looked, when I saw him down at Brentwood, he looked like he needed a bit more strength and conditioning, though, Mark. He can, you know, he had quick hands, but he didn't look like he had the real... you know, the real strength in those punches. But certainly against McDonagh, he hurt him, didn't he, in spells. So I think, yeah, definitely keep your eye on that. And what a name, you know, a household name, you know. If obviously Chris Eubank Jr. and Senior, and now obviously Harlem Eubank. So, yeah, listeners, keep your eye out for him because, yeah, as Mark said, he's hopefully going places.
No, absolutely. Now, guys, I did ask the question in part one with how many world heavyweight champions have we had in the history of Britain? Now, a good old friend of ours has got in touch. You might know the name. He was a former professional footballer, a good friend of ours. Darren Purse played for the O's, the Leyton Orient, had a career at Birmingham. He's got the answer correct. He said 9. Now, those 9 fighters, Charlie,
9
British heavyweight world champions.
Wow, I could only think of about 6.
Go on in. Name the 6.
Lennox Lewis.
Correct.
Frank Bruno.
Correct.
Herbie Hyde.
Correct.
Obviously Anthony Joshua.
Correct.
Who else?
Come on. You've just been trying to impersonate him earlier. You big dosser.
Oh, Tyson Fury, of course. That's about five. So who was
and the other one you've missed, he fought a giant. We had giants.
Oh, David Haye.
David Haye. So the one that people are failing to get, and Darren, Mr. Purser's got this one right, all right? And a fantastic documentary, if you haven't seen it, on Netflix, was Michael Bent. Now, Michael Bent was born in Britain. His father was Jamaican, wasn't he? And then he went out to the US. And Michael Bent was a world champion. Now, here's another question I'm going to throw in here, Charlie.
Go on.
Who was Britain's first world champion, and what year was it?
Britain's first world champion.
He come from Cornwall. There's a clue.
Right. I ain't got a clue. I ain't got a clue.
You call yourself a boxing pundit? It was Bob Fitzsimmons. Now, he first won the what they called the Blue Ribbon title in 1897.
Oh, 1897?
1897, right.
My goodness.
Who was Britain's next heavyweight world champion? There was a long, 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 long wait for this. Who was Britain's next heavyweight world champion?
Well, Frank Bruno won it in, obviously, we know, 1995.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was...
There was someone before him.
Well, it's got to be Lennox Lewis then.
Correct. What year was it? Now, I gave you a tip earlier. The clue was with Frank Bruno when he lost to Lennox Lewis. What year was it?
Early 90s.
Correct.
Yeah.
Go on. Have a stab in the dark then.
1992.
1993. Just 1 year out, Charlie. 1 year out. But well done to everyone that texted, everyone that tweeted. But Mr. Purse, you did get it correct, and not only did you score a cup final goal, Colin, cup final goal, but you're live on Phoenix 98 FM, so well done you.
The Phoenix 98 FM mug is on its way to you, Daz.
Exactly. Now, please, guys, keep pushing the show, because we do love this, and we only want to get bigger and better for you. We're on the socials.
We are Twitter, On The Ropes FM.
We're on Instagram.
On The Ropes FM 1.
And we're on Facebook.
On The Ropes.
Period.
And don't forget, if you can't listen in live each and every week, we're here every Sunday night. If you can't, then you can always listen to the pod edition or the upload edition. We normally upload it a day or two after Sunday, so it's either Monday or Tuesday. You can go to www.phoenixfm.com. Just follow our tab On The Ropes, and you can download it. Just hit the yellow button, download. It says download on it. So no excuses, guys. Tell all your friends. Keep following us on all the socials and also on the website.
Guys, get boxing on your screens next week. Two local lads will be in action, as we mentioned, Umar Sadiq, Friday night. You should get that on IFL TV or YouTube. And also the big man himself, Lions in the Camp, Anthony Yard, back in action. Hails from Milford, Hackney born. Get those two boxes on your TV screens next week. Now, get Charlie, sticking to the 1990s theme, we're going to play out with a song that was originally released in 1990. Now, this song was by Wilson Phillips. It's called Hold On. It is a bit of a cheesy number, but it's really for any person who's having doubts, whether that's in their career, their boxing career, their work career, if you're blue collar, or even during these difficult times, we have to hold on. Love the lyrics to this song, really inspiring. We'll leave you this one. As always, guys, have a knockout week, and
remember, you're always in with a puncher's chance. Take care, guys. Love you long time.
Chains. No one can change your life except for you. Don't ever let anyone step all over you. Just open your heart and your mind. Is it really fair to feel this way inside? Oh, someday somebody's gonna make you wanna turn around and say goodbye. Till then, baby, are you gonna
hold you down and make you cry. Don't you know, things will change, things will go your way. If you hold on for one more day, can you hold on for one more day? Things will go your way. Hold on for one more day.
This is Phoenix 98 FM. Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
98 FM.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.